welcome to Crippled System. This is episode 61. I am Katie, Bad Horse on the forums, and I play Circle.
And you actually play Circle at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment.
I blame Brian and the gifts. This is Jeremy, Valiant418 on the forums, and I play Rhett, and more recently, Legion.
Hi, this is Andy. I'm Major Tusk. I play Mercenaries, and I hate Iowa.
This is Brian, and I play Scorn badly.
This is Nathan, Ridia fan. I play Convergence and Piggy Pigs.
Oink, oink. You've been pretty all in on Convergence lately, though. Not a lot of pigs.
Yeah, I haven't played pigs since Convergence was available.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Convergence is a lot of fun and new.
And April's a good month for you.
Yeah, when the new book comes out, I'll play pigs again. But for now, I've just been playing pretty much all Convergence.
Yeah, April is a good month for Convergence.
I foolishly signed up for Masters at Adepticon. I'm not going to win any games, but whatever.
Well, you might. I mean, the corollary comes out probably at Adepticon, right?
Probably.
So bring
almost
100%
pots of paint certainly.
And a paintbrush.
Well,
Travis already has a painted one. He said I could borrow it I don't paint mine in time. So, yeah, I've been painting all my pirate hats come day after tomorrow.
Nice.
So I've already mathed it out. And if I just do my small-based models, I need 90 pirate hats, and I ordered 100.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I have 30 reductors, 30 obstructors, 15 Optifex Directive, 15 Angels. No, 12 Optifex Directive. So I actually have 12 Optifex Directive, 12 or 15 Angels, and then the Transfinite. No, whatever the fuck they are.
Arc
the Arc Nodes.
Yeah, whatever they're called.
Brain not working.
You have to paint. Are the guys themselves at least painted, or are you painting 90 models?
I have spray painted everything gold, and then there's going to be highlights in silver, red glow, and then that's it. I'm totally just mass producing these guys because they're robots.
Well, they would be.
My car isn't 30 different colors. Right. You know, my car is 99% one color, so it makes sense.
Okay, sweet.
And then the pirate hats and the feathers are going to be different colors for each unit. That's how I'm going to tell them apart.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, so there will be like a purple unit of Optifex and then a red unit of Optifex and so on.
Nice. I played a guy this weekend that was running all of the medium-based infantry because he had two hammers. What's his name? Axis-less.
Axis, sure.
And I was like, okay, so that unit's called a what now, and it does who to the what, and then this guy over here does the who to the what now. Like, they're different-looking models, but I don't know what any of them do.
They're all defense 12.
Yes, they are.
And they're pretty much across the board mat 7.
And they all have different armor. Well, that depends on if the eradicators are doing shields up or not.
Correct, because they could be more.
And they all have different armor, which is convenient.
Yeah, not really.
Nah, no,
it's
not
convenient
at all. They all have unique armor scores.
Yeah, it was my first experience playing against Convergence that had, other than playing against you, and you were playing mostly Jax because it's what you had when you first started. And, oh, man, telling the infantry apart, telling what the fuck they do is a pain.
I'm getting all my eradicators and perforators day after tomorrow, so nice. I will have a lot more stuff.
I think it should be a must for all Convergence players to have the token sets so you can tell them apart, like what battle mode that they're in.
The battle mode, knowing the battle modes is huge, because a lot of them have an offensive or a defensive, and it's really important to know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very annoying.
Partway through,
it's usually pretty obvious. Like if they charge you, they went into their offensive mode.
Yes.
If they have not actively charged you, they're in their defensive mode.
Right.
I mean, it's not like I'm gonna put the +2 to my damage roll on my reductor, not reductors, the reciprocators while they're walking up the field. It's like I'm 16 inches away from you, but I don't want set defense. I want +2 damage for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually obvious, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Those guys are one of the few infantry units in the game that I feel like I don't want to just annihilate with a unit of halberdiers from 15 inches away. Because between set defense and their armor score, like, a halberdier doesn't kill one on the charge, which is a drag.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Which is very unusual for halberdiers on the mini feet charging 15 inches.
Right.
So. But yeah, anyway, so most of us are pretty tired. Iowa, your state. It's a thing.
So before we go into that, I am announcing a Kickstarter for our group. We need a Kickstarter to buy us a Crippled System van. Because we can't all fit in my car to go somewhere.
Which
and whenever
fun.
Someone gets left out there, we're sad.
Yeah.
So we need like a Crippled System van so the podcast can travel as a crew somewhere.
It's not so much when somebody's left out. It's when somebody isn't even told it's a thing.
I didn't know
it's when
that
somebody gets a tweet on Saturday from Crippled System saying, hey, almost all of us are here at an event. And that person is like, oh. Literally nobody ever told me an event was happening because
I
would have drove myself.
I didn't know until I got in the car and I asked, why didn't Nathan come?
And I'm like, because our car's full. And I'm like, and I said, Dan, go ask Nathan because Dan's like, all right, who's going? I'm like, well, my car's full.
There's even a Twitter. There was a Facebook post on that too.
Yeah.
And Dan was like,
I thought Dan was going to order a second car and stuff. And then And I, because when Nathan's like, oh, I'm like, oh, I guess Nathan, I guess Dan.
Yeah, because Jordan talked about maybe going too. And yeah. I was like, talk to Nate, yeah. talk to Dan. You guys get card dose.
I love organizing things, but I can't hold everyone's hand. And I have to trust, like, Daniel's people when I say go talk to someone that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
We actually fully expected to see Dan when we got there.
I thought we were going to have, like, two cars of people there. Yeah. And then evidently it didn't happen.
Yeah. None of us have a car that fits five people. And in fact, four was, for lack of a better term, tight. But four we can do. Fine.
I mean, the trunk was 100% full.
I mean, we couldn't do it for it overnight.
No.
Oh, wait, we did.
Oh, wait, but, we did.
Well, yeah, if we want to stay in the same clothes. And
yeah.
Yeah, so you were lucky for not going, because it was...
And find out each other's comfort level with a state of undress.
I was fully dressed at all times, mind you. I have no comfort level.
I could care less at that
Andy
moment.
And I had less restrictions.
Both Jeremy and Andy were just, like, stripping.
I was hey,
like, okay.
At least I wear boxers. Mr. Whitey Tidies over here.
So?
I thought only children wore Whitey Tidies. I
didn't really say he needed an adult at one point.
Yeah.
Whitey Tidies.
Yeah.
It's not the term.
Yeah, it is.
Tidy Whiteys.
Yeah. 6-1
way. Either way, it was
either
way,
way
too,
it was
way
not
too much
boxers.
White.
It was too much Andy. It was more Andy than I wanted to see.
I at least... proceeded to strip when it was dark. when there was no lights on, you were just
well, what
like,
terrified
you
me
like,
is you stripped
you
and then
the
Brian
limelight.
Started taking pictures with his flash and I was really
there
scared
was a time
what the pictures
frame
would happen.
Between those events.
There was, but it wasn't long.
It was still long enough that, you know, that was mostly because it was dark and I wanted to blind you because I knew you were it was more to be a jerk than it was anything else.
It was an experience.
I'm going back to bed.
Two hotels. The first hotel promised us a cot and then a half hour later said, Oh yeah, we didn't find one, but you guys are cool with staying in that room, right? The four of you, because Andy and Brian, despite what you might think about us, do not enjoy cuddling in the other bed for some reason.
No, I don't like sharing a bed with another person.
I don't like people.
That's
at
a
all.
Man.
So yeah, so it was fun.
It was an experience.
The forecast of 1 to 2 inches may have been undersold
by about 10 times. There was so much snow, but yes. But it was an event. It was fun. Do we have announcements? We probably should do announcements. That's a thing we do.
There is a, yes, announcements.
Announcements.
Nathan's playing a cool game on his thing.
Oh, I thought you guys were actively talking about your trip, and I didn't have anything to add, so I was relaxing.
No. announcements. On the February 8th, there is going to be a Chicago event.
Yep. February.
February.
Back March 8th.
Yeah,
next
back in
week.
Time.
How about next weekend?
Next weekend. Except, yeah, it'll still be next weekend when they hear this, so that works.
Yeah, this coming weekend.
I was like thinking.
Are you
going
to get into that argument with you know, about
tired.
Next weekend?
I am
next
tired.
It should have been this. I should have said this weekend because it is. This.
By the time they hear
week.
It, it will be this. Weekend.
I missed. It's still. Yeah.
It already is this
yeah.
weekend.
Whether they hear
this,
it, or not.
It is this Saturday.
Yes.
Yes.
This coming Saturday.
There is no event next. Well, yes, there is.
There
event.
Is also yes. Okay, March 8th.
This
team,
Saturday.
This Saturday, team tournament is at a Dice Dojo. Which store is that?
Dice Dojo.
Dice Dojo. At Dice Dojo, bring a partner or just show up and they will give you a partner to play the team tournament with.
Then the week after, there's an event in Madison, 3-list Masters. Then on the 22nd, and I'm going to make sure Nathan hears this, in Cedar Rapids on the 22nd, there's another event in that store in Cedar Rapids, three-list event.
Three-list
option. Because they're doing like a four, is it like a thing where it's all linked together? Is
yep,
it,
four linked together.
But each event still has its own prize, and I don't know.
Yep.
I don't, yeah.
Right, it's like our six-pack.
Yeah. Yeah, like our six-pack. The individual prizes were better than when we did our six-pack. For the first one, at least. I don't know.
Well, they're good,
no,
good, yeah.
we gave out tokens. We gave out coins.
Oh, did we? Okay.
He just put all the money back in a prize.
In a pool. And
yeah.
Our event, I got just enough to pay for the coin kits, and then I saved the rest of the money to get the t-shirts and
correct.
The plaques and all. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous, but their event, it's fun. So that's the 22nd.
So that's the 22nd.
Then the 29th, me and Nathan are going to an event in Chicago. There's an event.
What's that one?
What is it called? It's the new game in town. Had a very small event, and I nabbed two spots.
Oh, sweet.
And,
not in Chicago. You said it was
Chicago.
In
Chicago. No, it's North Chicago. It's,
so you didn't tell us about that.
No, I invited Nathan. It was a week before Adepticon, and Nathan had specifically not been going to events. So I'm like, hey, Nathan, I have one spot for someone. And he's, if his work schedule is messed up, then someone else will go.
It's not my work schedule. He invited me, and then, like, the next day, I got a Facebook message from an old high school buddy. He's like, hey, I'm going to be in town. You want to hang out? And I'm just deciding whether to blow him off or not.
Yeah. Speaking of blowing people off, on the 15th, Alex Schaefer will be in town.
22nd.
Or, yes, the 22nd, when we're going to be going down to Cedar Rapids. Alex Schaefer and his
girlfriend
will be in town and staying at our house, and we may not be here.
That's so, fine. They can take care of the dogs.
Well, I mean, they're going to be in town for concert Friday, Saturday, on Saturday night. So their concert, they can go hang on, because he already said they go down to State Street and whatnot. So
yeah,
we can hang out Friday and Sunday with them a little bit. But yeah, Saturday.
But yeah, I thought that was funny.
And the other announcement is Cool Kurt won the Crucible down in Florida.
Yes, congratulations to Kurt for qualifying.
Good job, Springfield.
Weekend. Yeah, right.
Is he from the Crucible?
Hmm?
It's a win for Illinois.
It is a win for Illinois.
Yes, it's a win for Illinois.
Did Illinois, who all?
Because Alex just won a tournament, too.
Alex won a local one, though.
Yeah. Crucible's
a huge one.
It's a big event. It's a big deal in Florida. It's like their big event of this
quarter. It's one of the biggest East Coast qualifiers,
and
I guess it is.
And it's a War Machine Weekend qualifier as well.
Yes, that was what I meant with a War Machine Weekend qualifier.
Correct.
Yeah. So, congratulations to him.
I'm thinking in May. I can't pick a date till I have my stuff, but I'm going to be running a event probably Mayish, giving away the Kickstarter stuff because they should be sent out in April.
Okay,
I'm giving away every Kickstarter item except for the Crix one because I'm keeping that for myself. But everything else I'm getting is going into a con.
Are you keeping Sturgis?
Yes, Sturgis. I'm also keeping Sturgis.
Oh, okay. The don't make it May 15th because I have to work that weekend.
Like I said, I need to make sure I get stuff in hand. And I got to pick a weekend and whatnot, so that'll be upcoming. I mean, that Butcher event got a lot of people coming.
Oh, we had a ton of people show up for that.
So I think people will come to get the Kickstarter stuff as well.
Yeah,
I think. But that's cool. There's no official date. I'm thinking Mayish.
Yeah. And anyone else who has announcements, feel free to let us know.
Let us know at podcast@crippledsystem.com or crippledsystem@gmail.com.
Correct. But let us know before we podcast, because we podcast Sunday nights, and we got an email like Monday about the tournament in Cedar Rapids this last weekend. And we would have announced it, but we didn't know yet.
Yeah.
So, all right. Any other announcements anybody thinks we're missing?
I'm tired. Is that an announcement?
Sort of.
It's a nap.
I'm so goddamn hungry.
All right.
I got some peanuts that'll make
So, it. Topic two.
I don't want your penis.
Peanuts, motherfucker.
So let's do the tournament, because that way half of us can just sit here and grumble about how tired and hungry we are.
I'll do my entire event fast.
All right, you go.
I didn't do well. That's me. I'll summarize. I specifically went to try out a alternate Zaw list and an alternate Mortar Car list. I learned a lot from my lists. I'll say one awkward thing happened in my first round. I was playing against a local East Striker player. And it was the four of us and 12 local Cedar Rapids players. Who we've met a little bit at a couple of them came up to one of our events for the Butcher, and we've met some of them on the Des Moines events.
Yes,
I don't remember as many of them as I should because I meet so many people, but now they sunk into my brain. Hopefully, better because I'm just a terrible person.
Well, now you played a game against them, that helps.
Yeah.
And when there's a Madison event, the one that they came to, there was like 50 people, and then the one that I met, some of them met. Was their Mayhem Cup last year?
So which was 100 people.
So many people.
Yeah, whatever So it was nice just to meet them in their environment with just their crew. They were very friendly.
Yeah, they were.
So it's interesting. So the first round, I'm playing against East Striker player, and East Striker, and he goes first, and it's Incursion. And it's interesting when you play East Striker because he's one of the more deadly in melee assassination casters. You can just fly across the board.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, when you play East Striker players sometimes play because he's cool, and some are good. I have no idea.
He's the Overlord caster, right?
Yeah, he's Overlord. So I play super cautious because I'm just afraid that this guy is playing for the assassination. Then on turn two, he shoved his entire army for the control, and I realized he wasn't going to go for the assassination. He was going to control points. I'm like, well, shit, I need to like deal with this. And then he got some lucky crits with a Hammerfall to knock my knock one of my beasts out of the zone, and then into another beast and knock him down. Then his guys were able to push them away. His gun made
the Forge Guard
slammed a beast into another beast, and then they were able to push. He was able to push them all away.
Yeah, oddly, the guys with hammer in their name are not the guys with hammers.
Oh, yeah, it's so easy. The odd thing in that game was I was way up on time for him, and at one point he was done with his turn. He forgot to hit his death clock, and then when my turn started. I went to hit my clock, but I was done, and I realized I was still on his time because he never hit it to me. So I'm like, oh, I just gave him 8 minutes of my time because I didn't know how much I took. And I play pretty fast turns, so I was being generous with eight, but I had, my clock was at 38 minutes, his was at nine. So I'm like, well, I'll just give him 8 minutes because, and then, I could have been a dick and said, well, too bad for you, but that's just stupid. I mean, it's new people, and it's like, there's no reason to do that. I mean, there'd be no would that be a good way to win that game?
Hey, we're from Madison. We're asshats.
Yeah, we're asshats. Take that. You should hit that button. So I give him 8 minutes. He does his turn. Then he ends up, he does beat me with like 50 seconds left. And it was when he finally got all of his things going. I was like, oh, I could have been a jerk and won. But I would have felt, I would have ruined my entire day. So I was.
Yeah, you'd have felt bad.
Yeah. So, and he went for the scenario very well. I just, I wasn't, it was interesting because you don't know how a player's going to be.
You never do.
That was round one. Round two, I played a rec player. I played my Mordekaiser list, like version 18, version 12.
12.
He played Eviros, the Light Jamps back.
Yeah, all the Griffins. Spam. All the Griffins.
And it was kind of we could kind of kill each other, but we kind of couldn't at the same time. So when he would synergize up, his last guy would do some damage, but his first guys wouldn't do so much. And then I had one heavy that was slowly killing his stuff. And eventually he just deathclocked himself trying to kill me because it was just an incompetent middle fight.
Yeah.
Third round, I fought Katie. She learned Malakarn.
So, I always thought Malakarn was a caster.
So Malakarn, much like Galleon, has some great rules.
He's really good if you do Last Stand with him.
Yeah.
That was my gift to Brian.
I finally got to say about Last Stand of Malakarn, which made me feel good.
And he was so excited. I was literally across the tournament room from him, and I heard Brian say, I put Last Stand on Malakarn. Like, this was an announcement to the room.
I just feel good when that happens.
Apparently.
Because I know wonderful things are about to happen.
That was my thanks for driving, Brian. Really appreciate it. This is for you.
Kitty, on the bright side, Malakarn died.
That's
well,
true.
Not technically, because my caster died.
Because you turned it an end.
I'm going to side rant for a second on Zal. So I'm a big fan of Malakarn with Zal. I think it's a wonderful thing. I love having a model where if I last stand in feet, I can remove anything on the table. There's not anything in the game that if I'm like, I point at it and it goes away.
Because at that point, he's a double weapon master power 15
yeah.
With boosted hits.
Yeah.
So yeah, he removes pretty much anything.
It's, and also sometimes opponents will like put two or three heavies together, and he can easily remove two heavies and usually possibly three or at least severely hurt the third, so I can like drop three things. So I'll always trade him for those kind of scenarios. But now the whole thing, people are playing Zal with infantry spam. They're doing like Reptile Hounds and like three units because the Volker and Shamblers are amazing units. So this whole, and I'm trying that style out as well, but I'm always missing that Karn missile that I don't have anymore. So it makes me sad. But in the current meta, I don't know if it's as good either. But it's so weird playing lists where I don't have that like thing. It's almost the newer style Zal lists are more of attrition lists in some ways.
Yeah.
Except Last Stand Annihilators is amazing because you can clear infantry, but then it's like, with Last Stand, you put out Last Stand Annihilators, you pick a unit of your opponent's, and they just remove it from the table.
And then you
remove my unit. So it's this weird like effect that happens. And then the Bulker and Shamblers are amazing because I've played them enough. That Last Stand unit is legitimate. It's ridiculous. It's powerful. But that Bulker is such a damn target on that table. Like any competent opponent is putting effort to kill him. So you need so much things around him to keep him alive that it can be frustrating. It's like,
which one is he?
I didn't play him in like he's not legal till.
Okay.
Do his Shamblers all go away when he dies?
No.
Okay.
It's just like Alexia.
It's just like Alexia. Okay.
So yeah, so it's interesting.
They're just worthless once he dies.
And then that's my
last stand on him. They're not.
I guess that's true.
But I've been thinking a lot about the Bulker, and also his threat range is 8.5 inches. He can kill. He almost can kill anything at 8.5 inches too.
Yeah.
But your opponent has to walk within 8.5 inches of him for him to kill you. Like where Elixir can kill things, Elixir has more access to vengeance. She has more access to like more Madeline Corbeau movements and other sorts of shenanigans inside of that faction.
That's true.
Where he doesn't. Basically, your opponent has to go, oh, I walked within 8.5 inches of that guy. I guess I'm going to die now. It's just much harder to.
You almost have to be out-attritioning them so that they're forced into that position.
Correct. I mean, you have to have your Annihilators and your other units just jammed in front of him and some other kind of beast and stuff to, like, make him a distraction, which I think is very difficult against good players, but...
I could see that.
Round four, I faced Andy, and I got killed by a, whatever it's called.
Earthbreaker.
Well, you forgot to transfer,
and I forgot to feat. So those happened. And then that was my day. And then it snowed more than it should have.
A lot. It was snowing all in amongst the rest of that story.
Yeah, it's. We got there. Right?
We got there fine.
Yeah, we got there. Funny story. We got. It took us longer. My GPS said it took 2.5 hours. Where everyone else's GPS said it took 3 hours to get there.
Brian made his GPS right.
So I just drove like 85 miles an hour there, and I adjusted time to adjust to my GPS schedule.
Yeah.
Maybe my GPS knows me, so it just adjusted it to.
It's like I've driven with this guy before. Don't worry,
He's gonna go 85 the entire way. So it was easy. And then it snowed.
It snowed a lot,
and it was horrible.
I took a E Kruger P Kruger pairing. And there are actually a lot of Circle players there. But the first guy I played, his name was Zach. He was actually really fun. Him and I really know the rules really well. So it was a good game. but I took P. Kruger against Imorvana, and he clocked himself at the end is what ended up happening.
So Katie, a Gallows Grove, how many control points does it score when it controls the flag and incursion?
You know, you would think that it would score one, but it actually controls or scores zero.
It can't actually control, as it turns out.
Well, whatever. The point is, I moved P. Kruger up to try and face Morvana because she had been scoring points with this Gallows Grove. but that wasn't a true thing that happened. But then he couldn't hit Kruger in enough time, which I think he could have if he had rolled faster, but I think he, in his mind, he had already clocked himself, and so he wasn't rolling very fast.
Yeah. My favorite was when he said he was transferring to his gargantuan that was alive, and you're like, okay, good, so that's your one transfer to him, because he only has one fury open. And the guy looks at her, and he's like, is she, like, serious right now?
I forgot all about how fury mechanics worked that day. So anyway, I won, and then I don't usually win the first round of tournaments, and so I was very hyped up, I guess is the right way to say it. And then so my next person, I played the cock player against Axis, and I went to go rile one of my beasts, and then I put fury on another beast, and then I took E. Kruger's turn, and I didn't cast a single spell. So the one of them frenzied and really, really killed a melee unit.
Melee model.
Which is a really good use of a beast, by the way. But anyway, both of those games took a very long time, so by the time I faced Brian, I was pretty done and played really poorly, and then I just dropped. Because that's how I roll. And that was my day.
But you had fun.
I had fun.
Moral of the story is go to more tournaments so when you win a game, it doesn't throw you off.
Yeah, that's true. And also know your rules. Any of them would be good.
Any of them is a start.
Well, my favorite part was, like, somebody was standing there, and he's like, I've never heard anyone complain so much about the fury mechanic. And I was like, well, I can't remember to do anything with it, so I don't know what you want from me. Like, the mechanic itself isn't wrong, but the fact that I can't, like, and then I forgot to rile, and so I had to cut, on two separate rounds, I had to cut because I forgot to rile. It was very, not my best game.
It was an experience.
So I should probably go second to last here, because otherwise somebody would be like, hey, you're taking my thunder. I took two casters. One I've played before a bunch, and that's Durgan Madhammer. I took him with my Earthbreaker. My second list was Drake McMain with a galleon and a bunch of other things. My first round of my games were very short, except for one game. First game, I ended up taking. It was a local there. We got paired with another mercenary. He had Bart, and he moved Bart 2 inches forward, and then I hit him with the Earthbreaker and killed him.
What is the Earthbreaker's threat range?
With Durgan, yeah. I could be, if I'm going first, I could be 25 inches up on the table. Ugh. Turn two. If I'm going second, then I could be 28.
So how do you move him that far? I don't understand. I guess I'm missing something.
Red line is +2 speed.
Yep. So first turn, I'm running 12. Second turn, I'm then advancing 8.
Okay.
And then popping.
Wait, advancing 8? I thought it was speed 4. Advancing 6. Okay. That makes more sense.
And then I'm popping Dougal's mini feet at that point.
To shoot forever far.
And so he's shooting really far.
Oh, okay.
18 inches of movement, 2 inches from Dougal, plus deployment, plus the range of his gun. Is a lot.
Stupid far.
He's... And all I need to do is, if I go with that thing last, it's getting 4 dice to hit.
Yep.
on the knockdown gun. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So that's what happened to poor Bart.
It doesn't have arcing fire, does it?
No.
So you can't hide from it, theoretically.
You could hide from it. You're talking about hiding behind models?
Yeah, hide behind models.
Well, I've got Terran.
Oh, you got Terran. All right.
And I also have a knockdown gun, so I could just shoot whatever's in front of it.
But then you only have one shot at the knockdown on the caster, which at least
still
is something.
Still 4 dice.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you have a unit blocking a guy, blocking a unit, blocking you go like 7 tiers of people, and then you're
caster. And then you're fine.
Then you're fine.
Yeah. But behind the Colossal doesn't work if you have Terran, so
So that was quick. And then my second game actually was... It terrified me, because it took on a Circle opponent who had Kruger 2, who had Stormwall. And if you don't know what Stormwall is, it's basically you get to pick deviation of all AoEs, which is not what Durgan wants, and negative 5 to range.
So when you're in this why control, don't you take your other weapons. List?
I don't know.
Good question.
Fair question.
Good counterpoint.
Yeah,
that was a yeah. good exchange of.
So, he missed that E. Kruger was a caster that has Stormwall.
I completely did not realize he had Stormwall. But
it's okay.
Turned out,
it's not a signature.
Turned out I don't remember which one if I went first or second. But
I wouldn't think that your Durgan list likes hordes in general anyway, does it?
Not too bad.
Because your other list was who was your other list?
Drake
with a galleon.
Who has man? I love assassinating warlocks with McBane. He gets his ass up there with his grievous wounds.
Yeah, I guess I was. Mistakes were made. He didn't really have that many shootings, so I was like, whatever. But anyway, I took Durgan against Kruger 2, and for some odd reason, on his first turn, he decided to charge Kruger ahead towards a stone. And well, then I just moved up. I tuned up Earthbreaker, walked up, and I proceeded to shoot Kruger to death. From his three transfers that he had on him too. So
mistakes were made on both sides of the table, is what you're saying?
Nah. Well, his was more detrimental.
Yeah, yours was at list choice. His was in game.
Actually, honestly, list choice wouldn't have been that bad either because even at the -5 range and choosing the deviations, I could have not feeded that turn. I could have waited until he was much closer for me to take advantage of that.
That's true, because he can't move the Earthbreaker, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was going to position it well enough where he couldn't actually get to it. But, yeah, I got up within 9 inches of Kruger, so he was dead.
That's game, yeah.
Then the final one, or not the final game, but I ended up taking on the Convergence player, David. I took on my Drake McBane list. That grinded out to the very end. Turns out that I should have some practice with Galleon. Because I messed up on like numerous things with Galleon, and I would have actually had the game won if I had played him right. Then my last game, basically,
do you have specifics or
he did an attack with him one turn?
Yeah, well, basically because I'm used to McBane, I'm used to moving things up with the Jack that McBane controls and jackhammering. So he's already in melee with other things, and I reposition it. And I don't attack with it. And then I go over to McBane and I start jackhammering the Galleon. The final part there is he had Iron Mother on a hill behind two models.
Iron Mother's not legally playable.
She came out.
She comes out this Tuesday, doesn't
she? No, she came out Tuesday.
This last week?
Yeah, she was on the shelf a couple places.
Yeah, we saw her.
Oh, weird. Okay.
But yeah, she is just out.
I thought she came out this week.
Yeah. So what happened is I moved over with Eris. I shot her to knock off all the focus. He used one of the steel souls to redirect it. I went up on the hill with the galleon, shot the crap out of the steel souls in front of me, which opened up a lane for me to drag in the Iron Mother, and then I proceeded to not boost the hit on the Iron Mother. And, obviously failed. And then I basically said, I'm going to sit here for 3 minutes as my clock runs out.
Because I've lost this game.
Because I just lost.
One thing I noticed about this tournament that I haven't seen at other Death Clock tournaments is I felt like they went to time a lot. Like, people got clocked a lot more than I'm used to seeing.
It happens when you have newer folks playing it.
Especially people that may not be used to Death Clock. We don't know how often they play Death Clock there.
That's true.
He also messed up his clock too on me when we were deploying. He did not tap over to me either.
Which is another sign of someone that doesn't play much Death Clock.
Yeah, so we ended up having to, we ended up just turning the clock around, so I was on his time for the rest of the time, but yeah, it was kind of annoying.
Because we had kitchen timers for ours.
Yeah,
they were short, what was it, one or two games didn't have real Death Clocks.
They
had two sets of timers.
Well, they were relying on the Des Moines crew coming.
Who didn't come.
And they bailed.
They ducked.
They're like, oh, the Madison guys are coming, we better not come because we're afraid of them.
We intimidated them, so, you know, I understand.
Yeah. Yep. I like the last second tweet that Colin put out. So like, oh, if we knew you were there, we would have showed up.
Sure.
Whatever you tell yourself, Colin.
Cover your own ass. Yeah, that's how it goes.
So I, for those of you that didn't see our Twitter feed, I had a pretty good day. I played E-Lilith, E-Vale. I actually played a variation on my E-Lilith list. It had a lot of lights in it. I played a Naga, a Nephilim Bolt Thrower, a Seraph, or sorry, not a Seraph, and a Tariff. And then I had two Ravagors and a Seraph. So a little bit of an unusual Lilith list for me, at least. Not a way I've played her before. I was sort of motivated by some stuff I saw Alex Schaefer rocking when he was up here. And then the other thing I stole outright from him is he had a package he likes to run with E-Lilith of a Rake, two Strider Death Stalkers, a Totem Hunter, and a Nissa Revol to, like, harry one whole side of the table. So I stole part of that idea and had two Strider Death Stalkers and a Totem Hunter. I had never put the Totem Hunter on the table before. He's a pretty cool model. I think he's kind of legit. So I had fun with that. And
he's
then
one of those legit models that I just don't see people taking.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Kel Balak. I don't see a lot of Kel Balak even in Merciless.
He's great.
You know, but there's just a few, like, legit models that just, for some reason, people forget exist.
Yeah, they just never see play. Because, I mean, he's 3 points, and he does not everything the Lord of the Feast does, certainly, but depending on what you're going after, he does a lot of what the Lord of the Feast does.
He does a lot more than the Lord of the Feast does in a non-circle list.
Yeah, that is 100% true.
Lord of the Feast doesn't do a whole lot in a Legion list.
No, no, he doesn't. So I made some mistakes of play with him because I hadn't really used him before, but like one game I killed two out of the three Stitch Thralls for a Necrosurgeon and then proceeded to eliminate a unit of Mech Thralls and give him no corpses, which was a pretty sexy feeling. So, anyway, the other list I ran was my E-Vale, which is the E-Vale everyone runs, pretty much. Round one, I played versus one of their locals, a guy named Esteban, who was rocking E-Morvana. A little bit of a different E-Morvana list. He was running the Blood Pack, not because he thinks the Blood Pack's awesome, but because his Wolves of Ouroboros are not... I forget if he said he was assembling them or painting them. But anyway, they weren't available, so he ran the Blood Pack instead. He said he thinks the list is better with the Wolves and the three Werewolves, so... Or not the Wolves, the Reeves. And the three Werewolves.
I didn't think the Reeves did very well.
When you played against them?
When I played against them.
I'm not a fan of Reeves. I think generally most of the internet is not a fan of Reeves.
That's possible. Well, I mean, I see them a lot, though, with Morvana.
Because I put up P. Kruger's feet, and they just all died instantly.
Reeves are bad, but Morvana makes them good, which is why you see them a lot with Morvana. Although I think a lot of people are of the opinion that it's better to take something that's already good and make it great versus taking something bad and making it good.
Which is my general opinion as well. The Blood Pack just didn't do anything, though. Like, the Blood Pack were not the right decision. They didn't get any work done. They were too easy to kill. So, okay. So anyway, round one, Incursion, I assassinated E-Morvana. Basically, he played most of the game with Morvana about 4 inches from the corner of the table, just staying away from E-Lilith. And E-Lilith was actually out-attritioning him hard, so he had to bring her into the game in an attempt to assassinate me. He feeded back at Gallows Grove, tried to hit me with some Sunder Spirits, and then managed to charge me with one Skinwalker, and did not kill Lilith. So Lilith walked up, shot Morvana dead. I don't even think I had to bring anybody else in on the feet. Round two, I dropped Evale versus a player there named Jonesy. We played close quarters. He played Gatsby 1. What?
Oh, never mind. Yep.
He played Gatsby 1 versus my E-Lilith list, and he even said he made a mistake. He feeded really early and not really for any value. Gatsby 1's feat's not really all that great against a list full of beasts anyway, but he could have maybe done it better if he'd gotten in a position where he could have killed Lilith with between that and his spells. But his first thing he did was he came up, he tried to hit her with a boosted Parasite and missed, at which point he should have just said, "And I'm out, teleport, end of attempt." But instead he kept going for it, feeded, kept going for it, and then when he did finally teleport away, he was on one focus and I just shot him dead.
He was pot committed.
He was pot committed by then, yeah. Round three, I dropped Evale versus a rep player playing Assyria. It was my first game versus Assyria. She is 100% legit. I really look forward to playing her myself. She is a terrifying caster. He was running her a little bit unusual. He didn't have the Hyperion or anything like that. But at the end of the game, it came down to scenario points. We were both at 4. He couldn't quite clear out my beast in his zone, and he couldn't quite contest the other zone, and so I won on that. He did get a lot of work done with her, what's it called, ancillary attack on a Banshee, which is pretty terrifying, especially on the feet turn.
Sure.
But in general, at end game, it was very obvious that Assyria not having her own weapon was a detriment to him, because Evale was still running around doing, you know, what Evale does, and Assyria was like, well, I'm kind of out of things to help do. Like, it just wasn't. She just didn't have the gas at the very end. So you need to win with her hard early, I think, is what you need. You either need to get a massive attrition advantage or a massive scenario advantage early.
Sure.
Is what it felt like. Round four, I played the Convergence player because apparently he had the all Madison setup that day. He ran Axis against me, and I don't know if this is in general, but his Axis list was super pillow fisted. Is that outside of the feet turn, it was super pillow fisted.
Like, what did he have?
He had all three units of medium base infantry, which are all top out at POW 12. One of them can get POW 14.
Sure.
He had one Cypher, was his only jack, which is speed 4, no reach, and so it just couldn't get to me. And then he had one of the unit of the spray guys.
Yeah, I would think you want to take more. Like, I bring an inverter with him. I actually really like him with the Prime Axiom. It makes the gun suck, but man alive, on feet turn, that will murder the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, like, on his feet turn, the other thing was there's a big forest in the middle of the table, and we were playing, what's it called, Balance of Power, which is a zone in the middle of the table.
And the forest was, like,
the forest was basically the zone. Like, it was really rough on him.
What was his other list?
His other list was Iron Mother.
Iron Mother, that's right.
And yeah. I think he'd have been way better off with the Iron Mother list, quite frankly.
Did either of them have Axioms?
No Prime Axioms. Oh. He may not own one, would be my
guess.
That's
possible. I just finished assembling my second one.
Yeah.
Is that fun?
I took the extra effort and I modded one of its claws to be a closed drill. It looks really nice. I'm glad I did that. I recommend anybody with a Prime Axiom to do it. It was super easy.
Very cool. Yeah, that's actually the Iron Mother list that terrifies me, is the two Prime Axioms, carrier group.
But you need Corollary for that to be legal? Is that critical
no.
or no?
No.
It's not a requirement.
It's not a requirement. It's a requirement in Therion's tier 2. It's not a requirement for her, but it's kind of a duh thing to ever
for
say.
For all of them.
Corollary makes the list better, obviously. But no, it's not a requirement.
All right. Well, because sometimes some are literally requirements.
No.
I'm sure if it was like a...
I don't think she does.
It's a common sense addition.
You have to double check. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know why he went with the list he did, but Evale just...
Well, it sounds like both of his lists were fairly pillow-fisted.
Pillow-fisted list, the way he had them set up. The Iron Mother list did have at least like four heavies.
Okay.
Yeah. So he went better off with that.
Really, what, more shooty, my guess is probably had a couple monitors in there.
I think he had a monitor, two... He had one of the Range 13 True Sights.
Yeah, that's a monitor.
Two of the AOE guys.
Two Cyphers.
And then one of the... other heavy.
He had a bunch of the light ones too in there too. He had a bunch of the light ones. Basically, when he took on me, what I did is I shut him down with countermeasures.
Yeah.
And then I shoved Orin Midwinter up his ass for four turns while he couldn't cast spells.
But so, I didn't have that answer. And she's not a buff bot, right? She's not completely dependent on her upkeeps.
No, not really. I mean, she's their gun line is what she is.
And I mean, 2/3 of her spell list are dead against hordes. So that might have been why he went with Axis.
Yeah.
Because she can't dominate or backlash.
Right.
So it was a good day for Jeremy.
But yeah, so I won. It was fun. My first win. They didn't give out first, second, third coin, so I still have yet to earn a first place coin.
Hey, I have faith in you, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you don't have proof.
So we'll roll back down there on the 22nd and see if I can repeat. But I had a good time. And look forward to going back. They're a good group of guys.
It was weird to be in Iowa around a bunch of people playing War Machine who were friendly, not all full of themselves. It was kind of weird. They were just nice and laid back and having fun. They were like, oh, look at us. We're special. We're all these podcast people and we're important.
Tell me how you really feel, Brian.
I'm just saying.
I really liked Billy. He was the TO who ran it because he gave me free candy.
Yeah.
He was a really nice guy.
He was a really nice guy, but he also gave me free candy.
He friended me on Facebook today.
Did he? Yeah, he friended me on Facebook. Well, actually, I saw that you and Katie had friended him, and so I requested his friendship because apparently I'm not good enough to get a request.
Hey, at least you were invited to go.
That's true. So I'm a step above, but a step below others.
Yeah.
It's a chart.
And then...
there's the people that they were happy showed up. There's the people they were sad that showed up. And then there's the people who didn't show up.
Every person who knew us, hey, where's Nathan? I'm like, funny story. Evidently, he's not coming.
Yeah. It was great when someone opened the door and said, hey, Jeremy. And I was like, is that me? Like, I guess he met me at Mayhem Cup or something. I had no idea who he was. But, and then the other guy that I really enjoyed hanging out with was the rep player, Evan, that I chatted with. He was a really solid rep player. He's one of the best rep players I've played against personally. So
you hated everyone else?
No, I liked the other guys too, but those are my...
No, you said the other guy you liked. So that's you like two of the people.
Maybe if they had requested my friendship instead of me having to beg for scraps when I noticed that they had befriended Brian and Katie and probably Andy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd befriended everyone but me.
That's great.
He might have looked for Jeremy Shea.
He might have. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Do you have that married to
I still have
Benghazi
no clue
your,
that he, how that account was still available. How nobody had taken
right?
Benghazi.
Yeah. Sometimes things happen and it's funny.
Yeah, I was pretty happy that morning. Like, oh, it worked. One of my better moments.
So anyway.
And then it snowed some more.
Yeah, then it snowed.
And then it kept snowing. There's so much snow. Like, we went to go get lunch, and there was a bunch of snow, and Brian had to clean off his car. And then we came back after the tournament ended, and there was another 5 inches of snow
like,
on the car.
The forecast was 1 to 2. I checked even the morning of, before we left. Yeah, I'm going to double check, because if it's going to snow more, I'm not
going to
go.
Here's funny. Ask me what I did instead of going to the tournament with you.
What did you do?
I helped someone move.
Oh wow. Also, you had like rage and anger at us. You're like, I'm going to move these boxes.
Oh, my God. I was just throwing furniture. I was just like carrying a couch in one hand and an armoire in the other. And just like, fuck all of them.
Hey, you're my special buddy for the 29th. None of them were invited.
That's true.
They didn't even know about it until I brought it up.
That's true.
Yeah. Apparently the person I helped move, I love my stepkids, but the bathroom had not been cleaned. It looked like something from Silent Hill. When I said it hadn't been cleaned, I mean like since they moved in.
Oh. That's gross.
Okay. Good thing they're moving.
Yeah. Yeah. So Raylene's there right now cleaning.
Oh.
Poor Raylene.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, once I move with Jordan, it's going to be because once I move with Jordan, he gets priority to all events, and I'll have even worse getting people that, like, we need a
minivan.
Or more people to get better cars. We need more.
That would work too.
And he needs a
I have a boat.
Car.
Mine can fit five
yeah,
people.
Yeah, but you can't just travel somewhere away and
because then really
home alone. Yeah, you have multiple owners of vehicle that need
on
it.
The weekend, she can sit at home. She just plays Diablo all day. The Diablo 2.0 comes out, she's been playing that 24/7.
Like, yeah, but there's a difference between staying home and not having the choice to leave.
Yeah, I just wish, like, when you would, like, if you, knowing the car's out there, and like, I've had days where
I've
stayed
home all day. So,
what's
it like to be trapped at home all day?
Hey, it's pretty fucking awesome. So, I got home after our big trip and found out that my car was parked in the driveway. And then I go take a nap. I wake up. Brian shows up for the podcast. I'm like, I'm really hungry. Brian's going to stay here and watch Walking Dead with us. And he parked me in, too.
Yeah.
Now I can't go get fucking food.
I'm so goddamn
hungry.
Order pizza.
I'm not going to order pizza.
I got some peanuts.
Instead of watching, you have a penis?
I don't want any penis.
Instead of watching Walking Dead, we could all watch RoboCop.
Yeah, that would be fine.
No.
I was actually in the mood for
RoboCop. You can
TiVo
Walking Dead,
like, no,
you can watch
it
later.
I'm so tired.
They have food at that place. You can just take a nap.
I'm so hungry. I'm tired. We can watch RoboCop tomorrow night.
No, I don't want to watch RoboCop tomorrow night. I want to watch RoboCop tonight.
All right.
It's fine. I'll just watch it by myself.
Fascinating podcast.
It doesn't change anything.
Anyway, I'm sure people are enjoying listening to this conversation.
our conversations are pretty good, too.
Well, yeah.
There were some very good tweets and pictures sent out.
I sent some pictures of Katie and Brian in the back seat. People said that Katie looked like she was having a
fantastic
time.
Well, here's the problem, is all the heat was in the front seat, and Brian wouldn't take off his coat. So he was sweating, and so there was no heat in the back seat whatsoever.
And I was so tired, and I drank caffeine, and I was like, oh, my God. I haven't had caffeine since December, and I drink. I was tired, so I need to stay awake. So I broke my caffeine. I had one soda.
He pounded a Mountain Dew Code Red.
Oh my God! It was like I've never felt nothing has touched me so good in years.
When
like
I go
that Code Red,
when I go a long time without having caffeine, and then I have it, I feel drunk.
Oh, it was just the erection was so huge, it was so good.
I couldn't see Jeremy's hands.
Anyway,
God of gods.
So to interrupt you, Jeremy.
Yeah,
RoboCop is part of the podcast because it is something that we're recording for the podcast.
I'm just saying when all of us discussing like when and where we should watch RoboCop and our plans for this evening, may not be what they tune in for.
I don't know.
There are people that were on the edge of their seat. They're like, oh my God, will they watch RoboCop? Will they watch Walking Dead? Tune in to find out.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there going, oh great, they're doing battle reports.
Well, at least some subset of our listeners do legitimately say they enjoy the battle
reports.
Battle reports are pretty short. Done.
Yeah. Some people who I ran into today said that I didn't realize you'd put it up yet, but they saw the pain train for the RoboCop, and they thanked me for the warning. No, the new RoboCop
is up.
No,
it's not up yet.
Well, they saw it.
Yeah, I showed the folks that came over to record the audio for the new, I showed the raw for that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because we've been waiting to go.
Because I ran into Stevel, and Stevel said that the first 10 seconds of it really told him everything he needed to know, because it's just Brian, Katie, and I in various forms of depressed silence. Just like Brian just holding the microphone limp-wristed, staring off into space with like this 1,000-yard stare. I'm hunched over. Katie's just like, yep.
So good. Highly recommend that movie.
Yeah, in general, the two movies we've had for Movie Pain Drain were highly recommended.
I Frankenstein was actually, like, I had forgotten a lot about it, like the absence of people.
Yeah.
In that movie.
Rewatching the review, I was like, oh, I forgot that there were 7 total people. I had forgotten about the what percentage to dead. Not,
how
what,
did you forget
what
that?
What percentage to not being dead anymore counters? Like, I had forgotten so much. I had blocked it out. I had blocked it out from my mind.
So if anybody wants to know what we're talking about there, that's over on our YouTube channel for youtube.com/crippledsystem.
Mm-hmm.
/ awesome.
Yep.
/ awesome.
Moving on.
Okay.
Topic.
So Katie had a
topic. Family motto.
Yeah, it is the Shea family motto, apparently. So Katie had a topic. Do you want to introduce it?
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, somebody emailed me, and they were like, how did you get into War Machine, and did you ever play it before you started playing War Machine?
I'm going to guess your kind of – keep going, but I want to guess your answer before you sell it.
Okay. And
a difficult guess.
And the reason why is because he's trying to get his girlfriend to play. But more than that, I forgot what I was going to say. Brian distracts me.
You're welcome.
Someone wanted to know how you, Katie, a female, specifically got into War Machine.
Right, but I thought it would be like a kind of an interesting topic of how we all found the game, and just like a short little, this is how I got here kind of a thing. Brian, go. How did I get here?
All right. Well, that's not funny. I'll say, so Jeremy, you know, gets some miniatures, and he goes out, he has some fun. You're home alone, like, where did Jeremy go? He comes back with a bunch of stuff. Like, well, how can I just, you know, include myself in harass him more every day, because he had a day of freedom, so you're like, I'm going to go just chase him around that one last day. Like, oh, ha-ha.
You're like a lamprey is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like a soul sucker.
Yeah.
No, and it's ironic, because his theory is that you took the game up to spend more time with Jeremy, but in reality, now you mostly just prevent Jeremy from playing to spend more time with Jeremy. It's the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Like, you don't join him, you prevent it.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, you could go to Iowa and warm up with Jeremy, or I'm just going to sit here and play my iPad, but you can sit next to me while I do that.
Speaking of which, level 7 is no longer a thing.
What?
Jeremy has...
Hey, I was by the way, Nathan.
Christ almighty.
I was going to send an email to people and tell them Nathan and specifically. We play level 7 every Tuesday for the last 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Jeremy has decided the game is no longer fun.
No longer fun.
I decided that after 7 weeks, I wanted to give it a good college try, and after 7 weeks, both sides have now won once legitimately. And at no point during those 7 weeks did I feel like it was the best use of my time in that evening. Not once. I enjoy hanging out with all of you, but I feel like we could have put any other game – well, not any other game, but any other good game in front of the five of us – the six of us, I guess, because newbie comes too – and had more fun that evening and been in a better mood when we left. Because we all come in a good mood, and we're chatting, and we're happy, and we're friendly. And then at the end, it's all like, grumble, grumble, I hate all of you, and I wish you were dead.
I honestly don't see that.
It's how I feel the evenings work out.
A lot of the missions are very anticlimactic and peter out, and so it's not. I wouldn't say it's a grumbly ending, but it's a end to the evening.
It never. The missions aren't very well. They're fun, but some of them are. They're various degrees of fun, but they're not. There's no climactic like big battle ever. It's just like you just kind of peter to the
way. And I wanted to give it a chance, and I was wanted to try to play it all the way through, and
This last mission was it did not feel like it was a winnable situation. If you had somebody who was a competent overlord,
ones weren't a winnable situation for the overlord. If you had competent players,
it went from unstoppably winnable to unbeatably hard.
And I missed games like Descent, where Descent you had an overlord versus player, but there's always a balance where both people felt they had their moments to have fun in every game. Where this game, it's just
Switch to Descent as long as we don't do the stupid boats.
Well, I don't have it. I don't have it anymore.
Oh, okay.
Well, all I remember is one day Brian came over and he was like the best mood I've ever seen him. And then by the end of the night, he wanted to like throw his iPad again, and I was like, all right, I'm kind of like
whatever. So we'll just play other games on Tuesdays.
Well, the other problem is sometimes Jeremy's like, I want to play War Machine on Wednesday, but Katie's like, well, you saw the boys on Tuesday, so you should stay home on Wednesday. So
the fact that it's the night immediately prior to Wednesday makes my chances of playing War Machine on Wednesday much slimmer.
You have your own car. You could just go she on Wednesday.
She needs him home next to her when she's on her
and
iPad.
And play War Machine. Monday? I said Wednesday.
Oh, on Wednesday.
So you go, you see, you get in your car and you say, bye, honey, I'm going to go play War Machine now, kiss, kiss.
Right.
And then you leave.
Right.
And then you play War Machine.
So I got, you all the way up to the point where I play War Machine because I do all those first steps and then I get to the store.
And then the phone rings.
Sometimes I unpack models and sometimes I don't.
No, but then the phone rings and you go, hey, what's up? And she says, hey, I want you to come home. And you go, oh, that's interesting. I'm playing War Machine today.
Sir, break it up.
See, that would be fine until he got home and all the locks were changed.
Because he's like, see.
So can we start a Kickstarter for that?
if we did a different, like a Friday night or something.
No, I understand. I think we're not playing board games as much because we're playing a lot. Well, some of us are playing a lot more War Machine on weekends. So I do like I would like to get, if we don't do it every week, I would like to, if we did like an every other week.
And that's what I said, is every other week,
where
every 3 weeks.
We did some board games.
Board game night. I'd be totally up for that. But I don't want to commit to every week because of the impact.
And there are, honestly, there have been some Tuesdays where I'm like, I could just stay home and be so much more relaxed tonight, but I want to play level 7. So I think if we went to like an every 2 weeks board gaming.
And if you guys all want to play every week still, I mean, there's no reason the four of you guys can't get together and play level 7.
We're good at continuing to talk about what we're going to do with our time
again
as a podcast topic.
Sorry to those of you in listener land.
Katie brought the topic up, and I had to address it immediately.
So I just don't fathom the concept of God, I just... offense, Katie, I love you. It's not you versus Jeremy or whatever, but I don't understand being that whipped. I honestly don't. Like, Raylene gives me – I give her time. She gives me time, and there's no – like, if she calls up and she's like, hey, blah, 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 I'm like, oh, it's War Machine night. I'm playing War Machine. We'll do something tomorrow. And she goes, okay, that's fair. I just don't understand that. Oh, well.
Here's the thing is I like being at home by myself. That's fine. But sometimes when Jeremy's on travel for 3 weeks straight, I don't want to be at home by myself.
And I have traveled a lot lately.
He's been traveling a lot recently, and you, for some reason, enjoy time with Jeremy.
See, that's the part that confuses us. It's like, man, if you don't see Jeremy for 3 weeks, that seems like a win. Like, I don't see that. That's like a high five. The cats and dogs are running free in the house. You're relaxed.
So if he hadn't been traveling as much, then it probably wouldn't be a big deal. But there were...
That's a fair point.
You like him.
I didn't marry him by choice. This wasn't like an arranged. No.
All right, you didn't lose a bet. You got to stay in it for 10 years. I apologize. We forget that sometimes. Our bad.
Understandable. Anywho,
there was a topic here.
So
I blame Brian.
Our friend Jordan started playing with a guy who's since moved away, named Mike War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they played with
his name was Mike War Machine.
Yeah.
Wow. What a coincidence.
Right. And they used to play on bases that they painted different colors so that they represent the different factions. And
with, like, pieces of paper on them. With
paper clip with a card in it.
Because they were just trying things out and they didn't want to spend the money to get into War Machine. They wanted to try it out.
Right.
And so they would go and do that. And then Mike kind of dropped out of it because he's even more whipped than Jeremy. And then...
what?
He's more whipped than Jeremy. Okay. He's Nate Newby whipped, apparently.
He got 0 nights a week, not with his wife.
Yeah.
And his wife was super not interested.
And so then he would go over to Jordan's, and Jordan has cable, so I would also go over to Jordan's to watch show, Hoarders, which is amazing, and do cross-stitching, and then they would talk over my TV, and that would get angry at me. I would get angry at them for doing that.
Well, because she'd turn up the volume, so we talk a little louder. So she'd turn up the volume, so we talk a little louder.
Well, because Jordan had a one-bedroom apartment, so, like, the living room and... The table where they play were right there.
Jeremy and Jordan were in the bedroom. You were in the living room.
We were in the living room technically also.
All right.
It's one giant room.
It was one giant room. And then so, but then he wanted me to start playing. And so I said, okay, that's my story.
That's not how you started playing at all.
This cool story brought to you by Bro Incorporated.
To be fair, what I actually quote-unquote tricked Katie into playing. It wasn't like an intentional tricking, but when she found out, we used to go to Denny's like every Wednesday night.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part. That's actually what happened, is he would come home from Denny's at 2 in the morning and talk about all this fun stuff that happened and how much he laughed and all the racism, and I was like, I want to be a part of that.
Just like our podcast, for those of you that are wondering.
And but I couldn't just go to Denny's because, one, I was in bed by 10, and that's when they went because that's when the store closed, and two, I didn't know anybody. So I started playing so that I could know people so that I could go to Denny's.
And Denny's died.
This whole thing was a complicated plan to be allowed to go with the group to Denny's. Yes. That's the saddest end goal to have. I really want to go to Denny's. It's like Ocean's 11 Part 4. There's this huge, intricate plan just so you can go to Denny's.
Well, and it was great, though, because Denny's was the most fun that I had because I didn't actually like the game. At first. Sure.
wow.
But at Denny's, we played like Citadels, and there was laughing, and Resistance was played, and it was a Bonanza. Really good time. Bonanza was also there. But my point was, it was really a social aspect of the game that got me into it, as opposed to the...
And it wouldn't have had to be Denny's. Like, if it was the sort of thing where,
right.
like, we went over to somebody's house and played board games afterward, it would have been the same thing.
Yeah, it was just the group. She wanted to be included, and the ticket to be in the group was playing War Machine.
Which, to be fair, isn't something that I think any of us consciously do. But, like, our buddy Jim, who used to always hang out with us, he stopped playing War Machine, and he had his reasons, and they were legit. But the problem was, he stopped playing War Machine, and so, like... The same way this podcast is, we talk about lots of different things, but the reason we're all here together is because we play War Machine together. Then we also do other things together. And when Jim stopped playing War Machine, he literally just stopped wanting to hang out all the time.
Or at least there stopped being a reason. Or stopped being a good reason.
We still see him at parties.
And we still see him at big parties and stuff. But like, it'll be the sort of thing where
he watches the fights with Andy.
Yeah. I see Jim all the time. Yeah.
But like the rest
the point
of
the time, we see him less often.
We see him way less. And like it's the sort of thing where it's not intentional. We're not trying to exclude him. It just happens because War Machine is sort of the nucleus of our little group.
We make a plan. We grab who's around, you know.
Yeah, it's like we're playing Wednesday. And it's like, hey, let's go do X on Saturday. Sure, I'm in. Great.
Oh my god, I would totally do X on Saturday.
I know, right?
We can do X and then play board games.
That would be amazing.
We should videotape that.
We'll do X. I have the old.
Will there
copy
be caffeine?
I have the old copy of Nexus Ops that glows under a black light.
Oh god.
We can just drop some X and play black light Nexus Ops.
I have glow sticks.
Yes. We're in.
This gets better.
There's a bell we can just ding every so often.
My lava leaper's going, man.
Anywho, so that's my story.
So that's 20% of the answers.
Yes. I'll try to make mine a little quicker than
mine's quick.
30-minute
rambling
conversation.
I saw a picture of Terminus.
That's a good reason to play the game.
The model. Like I had played second edition 40K back in the Stone Age, and then I had stopped playing Minis games when I graduated from junior high. And then so I just didn't want to get in them just because they're expensive and time-sinking and everything. And then I was in the game store. I was walking past. They had their catalog open. There was a picture of Terminus. And I said, what is that? I want to own it. Point me to it. And then I bought War Machine.
You don't play Crix anymore.
No, I bought Terminus, and then I saw a picture of – I saw the concept art, like the actual from the book and everything, not the model. But it was the Terminus model, and then I saw the art for the Dial Troll Blitzer, and I said, what is that? I want that. I want to play that. And so I played Crix and Trolls for years. I played Crix and Trolls for all of Mark 1.
Oh. And now you play neither, which is kind of funny.
Yep. Faction hop.
Yeah.
I do that.
Nothing wrong with
that. I'm an altaholic. In MMOs, I always have like 50 characters that are all like level 4.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, whatever. Like the only Mamorpaga character I ever max leveled up was almost just for the achievement of it, was I had a character in City of Heroes that I never attacked once the entire time. I got max level without ever attacking. It was all just auras and buffs. I named him the Sycophant, and his battle cry was, great idea, boss. And I just ran around giving thumbs up to the person, to people.
Wow.
He was great.
That's a word for it.
I was in the store, and I saw the model for Afixius 1, and I'm like, I'm in! Well, I was playing Warhammer Fantasy. I was like in year 9 of Warhammer Fantasy, and I was slowly being disrupted by the game. So this War Machine thing intrigued me a little bit. So I was kind of over by the rack of miniatures going, well, what's looking through the books? And I saw Afixius 1. I'm like, yeah, that's what I need for my end of my life. And then I just bought that, and then I got a demo of the game, and the guy did a terrible demo. I'm like, this is the worst game in the world, and I just never thought about it for like 4 months.
Nori did that demo?
Yeah, Nori did that. Yeah. So I completely agree. I'm like, War Machine is stupid.
Nori has since, possibly unrelatedly, but not provably unrelatedly, been deported. He can't prove it wasn't due to his terrible demo skills.
So four or 5 months later, I'm still playing Warhammer Fantasy, and then someone else shows me some more of the game. I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty fun with the units and Jax and all that. And then for like a year, I played both games, and then I just phased out fantasy because I went all in War Machine. But basically, it was I walked over and I saw another Crix model, and I was like, Phixius, I'm on you.
If there was a medical procedure to make you into an Iron Witch, you would do it without hesitation.
Oh yeah,
right? Instantly be Iron Witch as Phixius if you could.
Oh yeah,
like no more human contact. Well, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
How would that be different from now?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you're like a skeleton. You won't have taste buds, so you can't taste delicious food
anymore. He
already
can't.
Again, he doesn't care. It's like, food's dumb. Give me metal body and stabby things.
Yeah. Legitimate. So that's me.
How about you, Andy?
Well, I was given a demo by a said Nori as well. And it was the greatest game that I've ever played because I was given the Sorsha. They were given Kador, and my opponent had a modified Signar battle group, and I was looking at the black Sorsha card, and I was like, "Oh, so this Windrush, so I can cast this twice, and then pop my feet and charge him
twice in Mark One.
No,
at the beginning of Mark One, yeah, Windrush, she got nerfed like four times.
Yeah,
Gatsby still has got nothing on her.
Yeah, Sorsha's and I was like, "Oh, so I can cast Windrush twice, and then I can charge him." And Nori's like, yeah. I'm like, well, that seems easy.
Win, Witch, and Rush, feet, charge, win.
Yep. And then that was Jim, and Jim didn't play for a year.
And, of course, this is Mark 1 when not only is it Win, Witch twice, but her feet didn't require line of sight, so it hit everything. And in Mark 1, you couldn't shake stationary.
Oh, my God.
So it's just Win, Witch, and Rush, feet, charge. Oh, you lived? I'll just buy seven attacks next turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim watched me play a game of War Machine. I think it was with Gatsby 1. He's like, yeah, the game looks like fun.
It took Jim a long time before he circled around back into the game because that would leave a bad taste in anybody's mouth.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Luckily for me and Jim, where my fantasy kept declining in quality, so it kept inspiring us to try something else.
Well, and the Bretts never got another book out. Who knows what would happen if Jim ever got another book for his Bretonians?
Well, I unfortunately had in the same boat as Brian with Warhammer Fantasy. There's basically three top tier armies. And unfortunately, the two armies that I played for since the beginning of Warhammer Fantasy, my career, were two of the three top-tier armies. So I would show up on, a Tuesday or Wednesday, and no one would want to play me because that's just how my army books work.
And it doesn't matter that you picked them just because you liked them or fluff-wise or anything. No, it's like when I bought a Blood Bowl team, I usually just get a Blood Bowl team. So I'm like, I like rats. Like in real life, I think rats are really cute animals and whatever. I've had pet rats. Actual pet rats, not like sewage rats. It's like saying dingoes versus a nice puppy dog. But they're clean, they're smart, whatever. The point is, I like rats. So I bought the Skaven, and then I like looked into it, and they're apparently like one of the best teams in Blood Bowl. I'm like, oops.
Halflings are not.
No.
But then I went out and I bought a shitty team, too. So I have one good team and one shitty team. But
yeah.
And with Warhammer Fantasy, I was big in undead. Before Warhammer, I was always big into undead. I like things that are dead.
I knew you were
big And Andy jumped into undead, so I'm like, well, I can't pick undead for that. So then I saw the Crix. I looked at the Phixies because I was like, oh, I can look at grab a faction that I...
You can trump Andy before he takes undead again.
And then I saw the model. I'm like, well, obviously I have to play this faction.
Iron Witches are cool.
Yeah,
they are very cool. Yeah, Kator, I kind of got stuck with Kator at the beginning because that's... Nori was actually very nice with his teaching people how to play. He actually gave me a battle box.
Cool.
So that's what got me started on Kator. I still own it. That's my only painted battle box, too. For Kator, that is.
Good.
Use the
press gang there. Good press gang. Don't you have to have two painted bottle boxes to be a press ganger?
Yeah.
Did you photograph somebody else's?
No.
I thought you said it was your only
painted
battle box.
I've got two painted battle boxes.
Wink, wink. Okay.
I know. I own two painted battle boxes.
Okay.
I own. Yes. Own. Yeah,
I believe.
Own is the key here.
Yes. Yes. I might have bought a painted battle box off of eBay specifically to have two painted battle boxes myself. I had my Crix one and I bought a Protectorate one.
Tomorrow would be like, oh, I can't access the forum. What's going on?
Oops. So for me, like she said, my buddy Jordan and Mike had checked out the game. They'd come down to Pegasus, the local store, like one time.
Yeah, Jordan said he didn't like the guys down there. You guys were all asses.
He did, in fact, describe you guys that way.
Because Jim,
apparently somebody raffled. He probably played like Keith or somebody, and he just got like raffle stomped, like super hard.
Yeah, because Jeremy was like, we should go down and see what the other people are doing, like, so we can improve. And Jordan was like, no, I don't want to play with them.
So for like,
to be fair, I've met us. We are assholes.
We are assholes. So Jordan and Mike were playing, and Mike bought into Crix, and Jordan bought into Kador, and I was like, well, I don't want to learn Hordes. That sounds hard. You guys are playing War Machine. So I looked at Mercs and I looked at Rhett, And I was like, well, Phineas Shea's pretty cool because he has like a similar name to me. And then I saw the Rhett's and I was like, and I'm in, all in, pointy-eared elves that hate people, done. And then I found out that they were really terrible because that was before Wrath dropped.
Yeah.
So I got into Rhett, and the funny thing was because we were playing at home and we were playing in the store, we played no terrain, like a 4-foot by 4-foot blank table. And so I was just rolling over Kador and Crix on an empty table. I was like, I have Strike Force and any caster, and I win? I love this game.
You know, you could cut out a circle from a sheet of paper and write forest on it. You don't need to own terrain.
But we were playing no scenarios, no terrain. Like, we didn't know. And, like, so Rhett was just unstoppably dominant. Like, Jordan beat me twice. Both times it was like, oh, by the way, there's this rule called a trample. Oh, so your jack's just going to go over my infantry and then eat my caster.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, well, that was a fun game. Now I know what a trample is. So, like, other than that, I just won, like, every game. So I felt like this game was, like, I was missing something. Like, something here was too easy.
Well, no, I remember you used to come home and tell me how bad Jordan was at the game compared to you, because you just always won.
I did always win.
And then you showed up and played with us once, and you literally and metaphorically got your stuff shoved in a Twinkie.
I did literally get my caster shoved in a Twinkie.
Yeah, I don't know why Jordan didn't like you guys.
To be fair, Jeremy came in with this, like, I'm the best ever. I show up, and it's like, yeah, this guy needs a beat.
And man, do we just instinctively just crush that person when some new guy comes with a head, dude? This is an immediate okay.
Because recently we've not crushed that attitude, and man, anytime we don't crush that attitude, we reject it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm super good at this game because I played chess. It's like, no, you're super good at this game because I'm a press ganger and I threw my caster away so that you would feel good about yourself. But now I know you're a cocky shithead, so guess what? I'm going to destroy your soul from now on.
We can be real assholes. I remember there was the recent Convergence launch event that Nathan ran, and there was a player that doesn't come to our store anymore.
That same guy.
It was. He doesn't come to our store anymore because we'd all played like one game against him. And spoiler alert, I don't necessarily throw my caster away, but I do my best to make sure you are at least in the game
right.
as a new player.
Well, and you can usually tell, because I remember when I was a new player and I would play like Nathan and Brian. You guys would just like let me win and be like, yep, I can tell that I'm not that good and you guys let me win.
But we don't like literally run the catch for a turnaround, but it's like, you know, oh, my caster's going to charge and kill one of your heavy beasts because it's fucking awesome.
Awesome.
Like, I killed that heavy. Oh, I'm in range of your other heavy. Oops. I mean, at least try to disguise it a little, but whatever.
So anyway, he'd like won like several games and he was telling us how good he was. So he came to this Convergence launch event, and Madison, we have some power gamers. I'm not going to even sugarcoat it. We power game the shit out of those goofy release events. So like every one of us was like going in with this plan, like I'm going to play every game in 10 minutes because it's just play a game, start a game, and you get points for number of games played. So done. But all of my lists are just how fast can I win a game and maybe get some achievements. So I sat down next to this guy and he's playing trolls and he runs his whole army to the corner of the table. And I'm playing Evail with Refuge and Admonition, and like, and I look at the table, I look at him, I move up two of my beasts, and I shoot the shit out of him, and I back up. And I go, all right, your turn. And he like, looks at me, and he like, does some things. Nobody moves forward. And he's like, all right. And I start my turn, I go, look, it's a fun event, we're here to have fun, and I don't want to be a jerk, but you can sit there for the next half hour while I eat your beasts one turn at a time. And I will win, and I will lose. I will not take a wound because I'm playing Evail, I have Refuge and Admonition. Or if you'd like, you can get into the game, come at me with your trolls, and we can play a game.
Yeah,
your call. So I go at him again, and I do some damage. I don't kill any trolls. I back up again. He's like, oh, well, I guess everybody else is like not playing in the corner with no scenario. So I'll go in. So he charges all his guys in, and I Admonition away.
He literally was in the corner of the table.
Literally, the corner
like, I don't
of the
understand
table.
Why you
there
would
was
do
no
that.
Kill box. There was no scenario.
There was no scenario. No kill box.
He was literally. He was 1-4.
He's like, I'm trolls. I'll be unstoppable. I'll have a wall, and I'll be on terrain that's good because I have an Earthbreaker and an Earthborn, and I have the Earthborn Animus, and like it's gonna be amazing. I have this, and he's gonna have to come into me.
He just turtled.
Yeah, he just turtled in the corner of the table.
But you could just shoot him.
Well, yep. Yeah.
I mean, it was going to take me a long time to shoot him.
I mean, he was shooting at, like, dice minus five, so it was going to take him an hour and a half per beast to kill, but there was no time limit and no scenario and no...
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I was going to win.
I remember looking over the table going, what the fuck is going on over there? So I've never seen a deployment like that.
So
ever.
I literally told him, you should, like, come out and, like, do something. Yeah. And then he came out, And at that point, I was angry. Like, it was like everybody else was on game three, and I'm like still on game one. And so I admonitioned away, and I moved my other guys away. Like, he didn't kill a single thing. He didn't even kill an infantry model. And then I killed all of his beasts, and then I feeded with Evail, and then I killed his caster. And I said, have fun, and I got up and I left the table. And like later in the day, I ran into him again, and I walked over, and I was like, so how's it going? And he had the most mopey look. He's like, everybody just destroys everything I brought. Trolls are really bad. I was like,
you're bad.
Oh, trolls aren't really bad.
But I mean, it's okay to be. I mean, the issue is like, it's okay to go 0-4 in your first bet. I mean, it's just lose.
Well, he went like 0-10 because of the release event.
Which is fine. Go 0-10, but just try to. Oh. The issue is when a new player comes in and they think that they are some messiah.
Oh, yeah.
They think that they're a prodigy.
God's
they think
gift that they're, to war like, machine.
Yeah. And that's why when somebody shows up with that attitude, you shove their caster in a Twinkie. And you say, no. You know? We'll take it easy on you so we don't scare you out of the game, assuming you understand that
to
you
be
should.
Fair,
like,
2 weeks later, you literally threw a model at me. Maybe not at me. It
not
felt
at you.
Like at me.
It was not.
I have never seen them treat a new player the way that they treated you.
No one ever treats anyone the way they
treat
me.
Jeremy needed to be treated like that.
I think there's
a
common denominator here, and it's you.
Damn it. But anyway,
yeah,
so
no,
that was how I got into the game. Was I was playing with Jordan, and then I came, and I was like, this game's actually like deep and rich, and in a year, maybe I'll learn how to win a game.
Yeah.
People, kind of sidetracking here, when you're a new player, you have to realize like the six full months of you playing the game is basically a hazing session. I mean, you're going to...
No matter how nice your meta is.
Yeah.
You're going to lose and lose and
you're
going
to
lose
and lose and lose.
And
you just have to, you know, keep your chin up, keep playing, you know, have fun. And if you're not having fun, find out how they can help you have fun.
And
get
feedback.
I remember that with the first however long I played, every time I finished a game, it was, what could I have done better? What could I have done differently? And some opponents are obviously going to be better at giving you advice than others. But then you finally get to the point where you've seen where your mistakes are and you see what cost you models and what didn't. And
And
it's still good to ask, what could I have done
one
better?
One of my favorite phrases is the game Go has a phrase that they use a lot, which is that the first thing you should do as a new player is lose your first 1,000 games as quickly as possible. Because the assumption is you're going to lose all of those games because the game is so deep. Like, it makes chess look like tiddlywinks. Like, you're going to get annihilated, but as long as you understand this going in and you treat those as learning sessions and not as failures on your part, like, you are successfully losing.
Yes.
You are doing what you should be doing right now, which is getting your shit just annihilated, just getting crushed, and using it to learn how and why you got crushed. Yeah. If you go into it and it's like, I lost my first game, I suck, I quit, well, then goodbye.
Yeah. Like, then this is not the game for you, no offense.
And there will be some players, I remember when I had asked, and they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm just better than you. And it's like, well, yes, clearly you're better than me because this is my second game. I hope you're better than me.
If you're not, it's very sad.
If you're not, it's very sad. So they're not very helpful, but you just move on and you try and avoid playing them in the future.
And if it's a good meta, and something that definitely happens in our meta, I think, is the people that aren't playing will still come by and watch games that our new players are in, and some of us more are better at this than others, but we'll offer feedback when asked.
I was friendly last week to somebody new.
That's weird for you.
I know.
But yeah, like Nathan will drop by, like, he won't necessarily be the one playing the new player, but he'll drop by and he'll like wait till the turn's over and be like, just so you know, there's this cool rule interaction, you could have done this. Or like the game will end and he'll be like, and the guy will be like, oh, man, I just don't know what happened. And Nate's like, well, so, you know, you could have played, like, if you play back 4 inches, like, it's a game of inches. And, like, even if you're not playing the game, we can help you with that stuff.
Well, I love Rick, the other local press ganger. I love, love, love his signature on the Privateer Press boards. It's one of my favorite things because it says whether you win a game or lose a game, if you know why it was a successful game.
That is a good saying.
That's
yeah.
the only thing that matters.
Yep.
Like, obviously, tournaments, you know, winning's what matters because you want the coin or whatever. But when you're playing the game for experience, when you're playing the game, like, there's two things that matter. Having fun and knowing why you won or lost.
Yeah.
If you don't do those two things, you were wasting your time.
Yeah. I made 5 new lists today off of yesterday's experiences.
Yeah.
And I've been playing this game 2.5 years, and I just won my first 4-round event.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you keeping track at home, is not a con.
Yeah.
2.5 years.
But you don't have a coin.
I still don't have a coin. But I won an event, damn it, and I'm gonna ride that victory.
I feel bad that you played so badly against me in Milwaukee that one time.
I've been at finals tables against several of you guys. Yeah. And I just always shit the bed at the finals table.
See, that's why you didn't invite me. Damn it!
Because you're my kryptonite.
Yeah.
I was sure I was going to be facing it. Like, Andy and I were sitting next to each other for round three, and he was having his way. Like, it looked like you were having your way with the Convergence player. And I was just like, yeah. Oh, I'm totally going to be playing Andy in the finals.
If you're going to be keep playing Legion and whatnot, you need to make sure to get some practice against me once Lucant comes out,
yes,
because he is both of your factions' kryptonite.
I'm aware.
Legion and, like, any shooting, Lucant just laughs. I played a test game against somebody on Wednesday who had Rhett with Backlash, and I had a Prime Axiom, and I just didn't fucking care. I just annihilated him. Well, because number one, I'm like armor 25, so you're not going to trigger Backlash, even right, with Jack Hunter, and just murder, 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 murder. So, yeah. Pro tip, if you're a shooty faction, find a local Lucant player and practice.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, if you're going to go to big conventions, get some practice against the carry group. Like, I don't want my first gaming's carry group to be at Adepticon.
Right.
Because that thing's going to be a problem.
I had Keith played against me already, so I've...
How did that feel?
It didn't work well for me. Yeah. Although, to be fair, I forgot that the XM had two dregs, not one dreg. So
oh, yeah.
That was more the problem than it was the list. It was just... He had more dregs. I thought he had two total dregs, and he had four total dregs. And
yeah.
I was prepared for two.
Yeah. Four dregs is a lot of dregs.
Yeah.
It's a drag.
To be fair, he only needed three.
I'm just glad Jeremy said it faster because I was going to say it and then hate myself.
I know, but someone had to say it.
Yeah. How are we on time? Should we be Zuple?
We should do a fast Zappity. You want to give us like 10 or 15 minutes?
Yeah, it depends. We're at 1:15. So we're going to have 20 minutes of recommendations, 20 minutes of Zappity Grumble.
10 minutes Zappity Grumble. 10
minutes Zappity.
10 minutes Zappity, 5-minute recommendations. Just fast, literally lightning round.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, come on.
I'll call it right now.
All right. I have 10 minutes. I'm starting the timer. We have something up before I...
I have Twitter open when you start it.
And Andy's got Facebook. Just rapid fire.
Do you have the Facebook, Andy?
Read answer.
There are so many.
We're gonna rip fast. All right, I'll start with
Twitter. Do you want to skip recommendations this time?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. We'll see where we are.
Just for 10 minutes.
I have a recommendation. I have nothing.
And go. Culver's or Steak and Shake?
Steak and Shake.
Culver's.
Deputy Grumble.
How does one get a hot gamer girlfriend if you're in a country where your accent alone doesn't make them want you?
Make more money.
Be better looking.
Oh, wow.
Those are both very...
Move to a different country.
Sorry, Pip. Zappity.
Grumble.
How long should I stay with a faction before I move on? 50 games of Circle, still super frustrated. Time to move on. If you play 20 games and you're not having fun, it doesn't matter if you're good with it. If you're not having fun, it's probably not your faction.
If you're frustrated with it, there's something that you're missing or it's not clicking, either figure out that is by talking to another player of that faction or move on. Also, Alex moves on when he gets bored, so if you're bored as well.
Yeah, and we're going to try to do a topic a little bit about this maybe next time, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, that seems fair. If you're not having fun, don't try to force yourself. If the faction's not working, move on. It's like a relationship. You can try to stick it out, but if it's not working, it's better to end it now.
I was losing miserably with Rhett, and I was having fun doing it.
So then that was
so
fine.
It was a good faction.
You can fix losing. You can't fix not enjoying it.
Exactly. Best list with two Earthbreakers. Sounds like a you, Andy.
I don't play with two Earthbreakers. I play with three.
So the list would be?
Add an Earthbreaker.
Yeah. All right, done.
Yeah, play with Gordon.
Zappity.
Because goddamn, that's fun.
Bar soap or body wash and sponge? Body wash and sponge.
Body wash and loofah.
A little loofah, sorry. Loofah.
Body wash and loofah.
I am afraid of loofahs.
Andy?
True fact.
I don't do drugs.
Okay.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What restaurant would make you attend more events? I know Nathan's answer. The Chinese place next to...
Yeah, I saw your tweet. Not only is it like, hey, we're an event that Nathan didn't know about. So I read this tweet. It starts with, what the fuck? They went to an event. And there's a Long John Silver's next door.
Literally, you can see it out the window. It was in the parking lot.
I swear to God, I just wanted to punch all four of you for the next 24 hours.
We specifically
hours.
Held out... Taking pictures we were while
take
we
pictures.
Were there.
We were going
to
take
we
pictures.
We figured you'd steal a card. Or
also, somebody did offer to trade us Long John Silver's for Papa Bears, and I told them that I don't know we can make that trade.
Right.
So Papa Bears will also make you go to events here
in
Madison.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Will Nathan talk more about Convergence soon?
Yeah, sure.
Zappity.
Grumble.
I just bought Fortress America on Amazon since it's been recommended 3 or 4 times. Any starting advice?
Read the rules.
No. The key thing that's going to swing a victory for America is them retaking cities because that gives them a free that gives them 50% increased reinforces. So as America, you need to look for cities that you can lose and then retake, like traps. And as the invader, you need to make sure that if you're taking a city, you're not allowing America to retake it. That's the key. If America retakes cities, they will fucking win.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Move to Madison in fall and want to connect with you guys and play Warmer Hordes. Do combat phase pods do at combat phase? So let's connect. All right, yeah, we'll get a hold of you.
Combat phase pods?
I think this is
spam bot?
So Jeremy can't read.
Yes.
We're at Pegasus on Wednesdays.
There's probably an autocorrect problem.
Yeah. Yes.
My pulse, I happens to me all the time.
Zappity grumble. Can you or can you not tip a cow?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
you totally can. They go right over.
Are mean too and heavy, so make sure they're going the right way.
They're delicious and adorable.
Zappity. Mostly delicious.
Grumble.
Do you think the recent bust to Ryze and the Devastator are signs PP wants to test more rebalancing of the game without Mark III? I think they're always doing that, so yes.
Yeah, they're always tweaking something small. Yeah. I mean,
it is nice to see flat-out buffs, though, as opposed to just like slight like alterations.
Well, but like the Warspear UA, nobody played Warspears. Now all of a sudden they're amazing.
Right. Right,
like they're always trying to. Like I think they're always trying to bring back.
Just
things.
Adding reach to Ryas is a unique thing. Like it is something a unique like thing. That hasn't happened before, and it's interesting to see that.
Yes, exactly.
Gumball.
I'm done, Andy.
From Alexander, should I take a gamble and buy that third unit of Silphilic Drudges, or should I wait until the contract is fully released?
Third unit of Drudges is still useful for eat any Steam Force.
Yep. Good answer.
Oh yeah. Good but point.
You went three of them for theme.
At the same time, if you're just only going with Mercs, though, I would wait.
Yes, if you're just a Merc player, wait.
Or buy them Andy Denny.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to buy a whole Crix thing.
That's true.
Zeppity.
Grumble.
Is the Citrati a must-have Scorn unit?
I would say 80% of Scorn players say it is. They use it all the time. I find for 11 points, only having 6 attacks is questionable, so I'm not on board with it. But I slowly...
You're in the
minority. They have value, but not to me as much. So.
Not mandatory. They're not the strike force
but
of Scorn.
Many people would disagree with that.
Zeppity.
Grumble.
Any news on t-shirts supporting the podcast?
We have I still have a couple 2XLs of our
and we do need to make a new batch because we're going to be going to cons this year, but we haven't gotten around to it yet.
Someone else is ordering them. I threw the
phone. I know. You do the first one.
We'll work it out. We'll figure it out. King of the Hill is even funnier when you live in Texas. I live 10 minutes from both the Cadillac Ranch and the 72-ounce steakhouse. Each show is like a slice of life. I want to go to a 72-ounce steakhouse.
All right.
I'm already ill thinking of that.
Sambas.
No,
I don't think you need 72 ounces.
We don't, but I'm just saying it's a little bit like the Sambas experience. You feel that way.
I want to have the old 96er. That's what I want.
But you don't want it to end the same way.
I don't want to. I don't want
to go no ahead of time.
All that's left on that plate is fat and gristle.
It's not done.
Zappity.
Grumble.
If Nathan started a Star Trek band, what would be what would its name be, and who's on bass, drums, etc.?
Well, it would be a B plus. It would be the B plus band.
The B pluses.
No, it'd be B plus and.
Yes, I like it
because the B.
I get it.
Zappity.
Grumble. Is Brian tired of painting medium based infantry yet?
I'm done. Ha ha! Suck it, world.
Zappity.
Grumble. I hope they come out with a new unit.
Why no minions in any bat reps?
Because Nathan's been playing Convergence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can bring out minions this week. I'll record a game.
Or
this
I can.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Yours is painted, at least. So
yeah, mine's painted.
Yep.
Deputy.
Grumble.
Is Nicolas Cage a good or bad actor?
Good.
Amazing.
He is amazing.
In both, he's amazing when he's good and he's amazing when he's bad.
True.
Yep. Like,
also,
God.
Face off.
He's a gift that keeps giving.
Deputy.
Grumble.
This kind of cut off at the last question. Favorite fantasy sci-fi books? Which one would you recommend to a friend? Mine is The Name of the Wind. Have you read that one?
First book is infected. Name of the Wind. Name of the Wind is amazing.
Name of the Wind is the first book is great.
Yes.
I would recommend the Malazan and Fall of the Empire books is what I would recommend for fantasy.
There's universal agreement in the Madison amongst people who read both books that Name of the Wind is super good and Wise Men Fear is less good.
Correct.
How much less good? Like, it varies from C to F.
So it's like Star Trek to Star Trek Into Darkness?
Yes. Yes. Where the first one's better, the second one we all agree is worse, but how much worse?
I'm not
is
sure what I dislike more, RoboCop remake or the second book in that series.
Jim despised the second book in the series. He did not like the omniscient tree monster. But I said last time Dune, and then somebody brought up, and then we all agreed the Heir to the Empire trilogy and Star Wars is a super.
I have trouble coming up with something better than the Heir to the Empire trilogy. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, that's not true. The book Starship Troopers, the movie was a parody of some other storyline.
This is just
the
sci-fi?
Book Starship Troopers sci-fi was amazing.
Well, sci-fi slash fantasy was the thing.
I like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That works.
I enjoy Piers Anthony, who's a hit or miss author. A lot of people know about the Xanth series. I really liked the Incarnations of Immortality series. It's each book is somebody who's the literal incarnation of death. Like, there's a guy who is the Grim Reaper. There's a guy who's the incarnation of time. There's Mother Nature. There's the devil, and it follows these people who take on the job because it's basically just a job, and then it goes through. And they're all really good.
2 minute warning.
The War and the Death ones are two of my favorite fantasy books.
Very cool. Brian? Andy?
Nah, Brian said Malazan.
I didn't do that.
Grumble. Grumble.
Have you ever jumped through the air whilst firing two guns?
No.
And I'm sad.
That's dangerous.
Zappity. Grumble.
So, Butcher 1, 2, and 3 for Masters format. What do you think? And that's from Kurt.
It's frighteningly playable.
They don't overlap a lot on characters, so you could do it.
Yep. Well, did he win? I wonder if he won that event with that list.
That might have been. Yeah, that might have been what he did.
You can cover a lot of different matches.
Is that what he played in Florida?
I don't know.
Hey, who knows?
He's a Butcher.
You could
fanatic.
Do it, Kurt, because you're cool.
We trust
you. Yeah,
and you're from Springfield.
Yeah.
Also true.
Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble.
As a Merc player, is there any reason to pick up the following Crows?
Yes.
Devil Dogs?
Yes. No.
Precursors?
Yes.
Blythe and Bull?
No.
Yeah, pretty much.
I would pick them up in that order also. Like, you are getting decreasingly good value.
Unless you love Connie.
I like Crows more than Devil Dog. Yeah, Precursors are really good with Connie, and they're okay.
Precursors are really good just by themselves. They're a unit you can't really fuck with.
Yeah, they're best with Connie because she can buff them without having to cast spells on them because she's specifically designed to do so. Yeah. Most of other casters need to cast spells. It's such a double-edged sword being immune to spells.
Correct.
And mercs need to buff.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't like them outside of Connie personally, but they are a solid little self-contained unit if they fit your playstyle. But personally, I would buy in that order and then not buy the fourth of those things.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy Blythe and Bull. No. Sadly, I did.
Yeah.
Zap, Grumble.
Does Ryan now enjoy an occasional PB&J?
Ryan,
No.
Zappity.
Did the weather make the trip to Iowa worth it?
No.
Grumble.
Grumble, yeah.
That's part of the answer also.
That is the answer.
It was fun, but that was a little...
Yeah. It was an adventure.
It was interesting. And it's nice to see that the Iowa comes out to hang out with us, too.
Yeah, right.
And the Muse guys.
Is that 1 minute, or is that done?
Time is up.
Yeah, we get
How close are we?
We're almost done. Right. Does Kurt Hyman making it to War Machine Weekend Invitational put Springfield back on the map?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Springfield.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Why am I so bad at assembling models? Seriously, though, to hell with Frednerus and the entire Vlad tier 4 list.
Valid point.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Are you bros and brolettes going to Adepticon? If so, let's play some games.
Brian and I will be there the whole time.
I'll be there the whole time.
Andy will be running events the whole time. Yep. Katie will be there for the weekend.
I'll be available at nighttime to play Iron Arena.
Also, yes. I need a room to live in. Just throw that out there.
Just put that out there and listen to world.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Half factions, brilliant idea, or just a great idea?
Half factions?
Yeah, it's basically like pirates. No. Convergence is a full faction, but pirates and, like the mercenary factions.
And the minion factions.
I think that's fine.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't know that it's my favorite thing. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't like the fact where people believe that their faction needs more attention all the time.
It leads to half-faction purists, which are a bad thing.
Why didn't my relic get something new?
Yeah, the contract system is a fine thing. Blind loyalty to a subsection of your faction is not a fine thing.
Yes.
It's like people that play just pigs and not gators, and then they get upset when gators get something amazing.
There's a super big difference,
can play models from both.
There
together.
Is zero overlap between pigs
and
gators,
I think pigs and gators should have overlap.
People who choose to play Seerforge only instead of playing Highborn and Four Star with those exact same models are just close-minded and stupid.
Agreed.
Zappity. Yep.
Grumble.
Is Titanfall the game that'll get me to go next gen? That's from Mr. Hexaw.
No, it will not, because it's on
a PC as well.
If you have a PC, you want to play on the PC.
I have heard nothing but amazing things about that game.
I am a PlayStation fanboy. I am anti-Xbox.
They said they're
going
to come out for PS4 because people like it so much.
Oh, my God, really?
It'll be much later.
Hooray!
It'll be much later.
Never mind. I am no longer tempted to buy an Xbox.
That's what I heard.
I don't believe it.
I heard that they were that it was.
Yeah, but you hear a lot of weird things. That game's backed by Microsoft. I don't think it's.
I'm more tapped into the fanboys of video games, and
if it's on the PC at the very least, if I can play it without buying an Xbox, that makes me happy because I would almost buy an Xbox just for that one game.
The game is just multiplayer, so there's no element of anything. There's no story element. I mean, I'm saying multiplayer games are fun, but when there's no other element, it can get older.
There's no single player War Machine.
It's because it's not a video game. I mean,
right, but my point is there's things that require other players to play, board games and whatnot. I mean, video games don't have to be single player.
Yeah, but I mean, it's typically for long term.
You don't like flavor, Zappity.
Grumble.
Grumble. I'm much
good in flavor the Flav?
I'm just saying it needs more variety.
Or is that how much we got?
No. Based on the posted photo, Katie looked miserable. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much does Katie regret attending the Cedar Rapids event?
I don't regret it. I'm just...
Also, scales only go up to 7. Duh.
She would have appreciated the forecast being more accurate, maybe.
I would have appreciated my feet not falling off because they froze. And
it was so hot in the front of the car. It was so hot.
Take off your coat!
I was driving, I couldn't.
When you were at the stoplight, you could.
Well, they mentioned it was too late. By the way, I'm going to go back. The C.S. Freeman, the Cold Fire trilogy, is an amazing trilogy. That's just...
Ray.
Zappity.
Grumble. And the last one here. I'm selling my Menoth. Which Horde's faction do I buy with the resulting funds?
It depends on your playstyle.
Yeah, it depends on which ones you like the look of, because you're going to be staring at them for a long time.
Send us a message about what you do and don't like, and we will analyze it.
Most playstyle similar to Menoth is probably Trolls. So,
except if you're getting out of Menoth because you don't like the playstyle, then...
For better or for worse, right. Most playstyle similar to Menoth is probably Trolls. Yes. So I either take that as a warning or a suggestion.
I would argue Convergence also to some extent.
Which is not a Hordes faction.
Oh, he said Hordes only? I missed that. Okay. This is what happens when I listen.
Remember when I said if you're going to respond, you should listen to what the person asked? Otherwise, I heard faction.
So many times this week. I heard the word faction. Of that incident happening.
He just throws out a random answer. Oh, Zappity.
Grumble.
God. That's it.
Okay.
We ripped through that pretty good.
I recommend Hungry Shark Evolution. It's a free game for your iPad or Kindle Fire or other such handy tablet machine device, and it's fun. You're a shark and you eat people. Munch, munch.
I think it's
free.
You keep playing around, it goes faster, you can go in tunnels and things.
Yeah, you go down in tunnels and stuff, go and you eat stuff, and then you find conch shells that give you missions, and then you have to do those missions. Like, you know, the last one I had to do is I had to eat 10 seagulls that were in flight, and so I had to jump super fast out of the water and catch
them. Do helicopters come after you this
Helicopters
one?
Come after you. It's
a really fun game.
There's submarines and megalodons. It's a fun game, and it's 100% free.
I'm going to recommend Dollhouse. We may have recommended it before, but we are rewatching it at the moment, and it's really, really good.
It is really, really good. I recommend Joss Whedon just in general. Full stop.
Not Alien 4.
I recommend getting Andy food. Andy's hungry. Wants food.
And I recommend that book series I brought up, the Cold Fire trilogy.
Done.
You're stressing that.
It is. It's really good. That has probably...
It only took him 20 minutes to remember it. So.
Well, I bring me a million books. This author writes characters better than anyone else. Ever. It's my number one author.
So now I have to go buy this book, too.
I'm just saying, and Jim also would agree with me. Jim has agreed. We have long discussions.
And you and Jim have very similar books taste to me, so yeah.
Right. Well, there we go. Close to 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Well, then thanks for listening, whatever. I want to give a special thanks to the Crippled System crew for inviting me to participate in this. It was a pleasure to be included in your group.
As a guest.
As a guest.
Hey,
so thank you.
You're welcome, buddy.
Did you actually get an invite to show up today?
No. On the way over here, I was 90% sure I was going to show up, and Andy was going to be here alone and be like, oh, we were all tired. We're not recording today. And I was going to kill people.
Well, we all decided we weren't going to watch RoboCop this afternoon, and I was like, it's going to be hilarious when Andy's asleep, his roommates are gone, the door's locked, and Nathan shows up to watch RoboCop at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, he is going to just rage the fuck out.
Luckily, nobody ever told me RoboCop was going to be watched at 4 o'clock this afternoon, so I didn't know...
He posted it!
I didn't know that it was canceled.
No, I didn't post a time or anything. I was like, I might watch it Sunday afternoon if people are interested.
Yeah. So good thing I didn't hear about the cancellation of the invite that I never got.
Yes.
Fuckers.
Hey, we almost went to Samba today. I keep adding things to this. I don't know.
But we didn't, because we love you.
Because we love you.
So much.
Thank you for listening.
So we need and please buy us a van.
Yes.
Please buy us a van.
Thank you for listening to Crippled System episode 61.
Out.